Anyways, okay, let's get going here. All right. One, two, three. I don't even know if we have the cold. Do you have the cold opening? Say something stupid.
this is brought to you by the letter C.
Yeah, C for copyright infringement. Hello and welcome to episode 6 of... What do we call
it? The Two Hosers Show.
The Two Hosers Photo Show.
Photo Show, that's right.
Take that again. From the top, okay. Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. I'm Alan and on the line with me is...
Adam Schwartz from Vancouver, Canada.
And I'm calling it from balmy tubing in Germany. No joke, balmy. It has been last week, one day was -8. The next day, honest to goodness, 23 degrees on the patio.
Wow.
-8 to 23.
Shifty.
Yeah. It's today, the highs are +9 with snow showers. no joke. So, yeah. At least the snow's gone here, and it's actually pretty nice. We walked around the t-shirt, so all riveting information. Wanted to remind everybody that they can find us on our website, twohosers.com, Twitter, twohosers, at twohosers Twitter. We'll get that right one of these weeks. The blog, you can access, it's my old blog. I still update. You can access from the site. And that's where you'll find the video that you saw of the aperture and shutter speed.
Very well done, now that I did watch it.
Thank you. I was fishing. How do you like my hair?
It's a little unkempt.
It's a little unkempt today, yeah. Well, it's early. I'll be honest, it's this is a radio show. And got a face made for radio, man. So... Yeah, and then on our website, there's a link to the email and all that stuff. I think people can figure it out. If they're listening to the podcast on the computer, I think they can figure out the rest.
Yeah, I agree.
Whew. All right. What'd you shoot this week? I checked the blog today. No updates as of the second.
Yeah, my wife has been slacking off a little bit on the blog, but I do have a backlog of pictures. Yeah.
Full disclosure, today is Valentine's Day.
Yes.
For you, not for me.
Yesterday for you.
Correct. But
yeah, we had a kind of a light shooting weekend, but I took some pictures at my brother and sister-in-law's 2-year-old birthday party for my niece and nephew. So I took a few pictures over at their house with the kids, but you know, basic stuff, cupcakes, miniature slide in the living room. Children jumping up and down, that sort of thing.
Fantastic. And that's the twins.
That's, yeah, my niece and nephew, twins, just turned 2.
So you do everything twice. You take every shot twice to make it even.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, I look forward to seeing those on the blog. I assume they're gonna show up eventually.
Yeah, they'll show up, I think, in this week.
Awesome. I shot... did I shoot stills? I can't think of if I shot any stills this week. I shot a bunch of video with my digital SLR, though.
What were you shooting?
I was shooting a behind-the-scenes documentary style. Is that the... Can I just call it that? It's shooting a short documentary about a fellow podcaster. Tubing, as it turns out, is accidentally the podcasting, photo podcasting capital of the world.
So podcasts devoted to photography.
Correct. There's a guy who lives down the street here, literally steps from my house, who's been doing a podcast for 4 or 5 years now. And it's called Tips from the Top Floor. It's sort of more high-end.
It's better. It's better than ours.
It's far better than ours. It might be. I've been on his show a couple times, and he's interviewed me a couple times. And anyway, his name's Chris Marquardt, and his show is, he's been doing it for a long time. He just past episode 500. So he has been doing it for quite some time. And anyways, he's a German guy, does it in English, but he also does a German one. This isn't the Chris Marquardt episode, by the way, Chris. It kind of is, because he's a fun guy to hang out with when he knows his stuff. So anyway, so I was shooting some stuff for him. He's developing an app for the phone, for the iPhone, iPad, sort of based on photography. And so he was shooting some stills for that, and I was making a documentary about that process. But it's my first time really shooting run-and-gun style with the 5D HD video. And you wrestle with that camera a little bit.
Yeah.
I can't imagine shooting home video with it.
Why?
Keeping everything in focus. Like, there's not a lot of auto features on that camera.
Yeah. So are you using a tripod?
No, I don't have a tripod. I would have used a monopod, which I think you can, I don't know how your Latin is, but mono means one.
Yes.
And so it's like a tripod, but just one leg. Anyways, I would normally would use that and basically use it to steady so I can move the camera around, except for I needed to mount a couple of mic, like the receiver for my radio mic.
Yeah.
And that actually required that I use the screw mount on the bottom of the camera, which meant I could not use a monopod.
Right.
So it's basically handheld the entire time, and everything is manual focus with a depth of field of zero. So everything I'm constantly focusing. I got used to it, but anyways, long story, still long. That will be posted. I'm not sure when Chris is going to post that. It's going to be posted on his website, and it's going to go out with his app and all that stuff. So
cool.
We'll let everybody know when that's going to happen. So that's what we shot last week. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and by episode 6 now, I'm going to name that segment. What did you shoot last week?
Sounds appropriate.
Yeah. We have a listener question that ties in with something we wanted to talk about anyway. So good timing.
Perfect.
Do you want to take a stab at it or should I?
Well, you probably got it in front of me, so why don't you?
I do. I'm very prepared. Okay, Volker, it does say, it looks like Volker, but it's Volker here in Germany. Volker from Germany writes, "Hey guys," should I do it in his voice?
Yeah.
What I can assume to be his voice? I don't.
Yeah.
Hey guys, first of all, awesome job so far. Well, he hasn't heard today yet. Thanks for all those techniques and tips. I have a question. I want to prepare a small slideshow for my mom's birthday. Not technically a question. It doesn't have to be really professional, but some nice and smooth transitions and maybe some music in the background. Maybe you could suggest a software or give an introduction to iLife, maybe covering the basics. Help highly appreciated. All the best for the future, and thanks again for the awesome podcast. Volker." So when I got this question, I immediately went to Adam, because I've used an older version of iLife, probably 8 years ago, if it existed then, whenever the first incarnation was. And I'm a Final Cut Pro guy, but I've seen some of the stuff you've done on, is it iMovie you use?
Yeah, iMovie you have a little bit more control, but I have the newest version of iLife, which is iLife 11, and it's probably for people that don't want to invest a lot of time, probably just an iPhoto is your best bet, where basically all you have to do is create a folder with all the pictures you want in it, click on the slideshow tab, and then it basically gives you a whole bunch of preset options with the transitions all built in, so from very simple to very fancy. And then there's a tab for adding your music, and you can either use stock music that's available in iLife, or you can, you know, select any number of songs from your iTunes library, and basically even has a tab to basically set the music to the length of your slideshow. And then so you can click through in settings and define length of the slides and you know, make it as specific as you would like in terms of how long you want the slides to be or how long you want transitions to be. But set all things considered, even for someone who's never used it before, 10 minutes to make a pretty decent looking slideshow start to finish. So that's an iPhoto. Yeah. iMovie will triple your time, but you can tailor make it to exactly what you want. So I would recommend for the rookie who wants to get it done using iPhoto as opposed to iMovie.
And how many pictures to a song?
It depends. I mean, I usually think that I use about a 5-second slide, so it ultimately depends on how long your song is, right? So I usually find, you know, about a 3.5-minute song works well, and 5 seconds a slide to, I'm going to just guess offhand, probably about 30 to 40 pictures. Is that, okay. Does that sound right?
That's actually my baseline for when I do it. I do the similar sort of thing. I do it right in Final Cut Pro for the full control and all that. Not, you know, but that's essentially what I tell clients, that figure on that. Because with overlap, I mean, the picture isn't generally on there for 5 seconds. I go a little bit shorter. Depends on the sort of tone.
I think that default is 4 seconds, I think, is what iPhoto uses, 4 seconds.
All right. So if you're doing someone's, for instance, a memorial service or something, I tend to want to have the pictures last a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And then something like a kid's birthday party is usually something very quick, because a lot's happening and stuff like that. Although I haven't done one for a kid's birthday party before, so I don't really know why I pulled that example out. So there you go.
I have done one.
I guess that's why I pulled that out. But okay, so hopefully that answers your question. I mean, we're of course answering this based on the fact that everyone uses a Mac, which not everybody does. But I'm assuming there's something equivalent in the PC world.
I don't know. I imagine there's lots of different programs that do it. I've seen a lot of people do their slideshows in PowerPoint, and they look terrible. So don't do them in PowerPoint. Have you seen any of those?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I've seen some bad PowerPoint ones. You've been to the occasional wedding where somebody whips out that's when you get to kind of act like an internal snob.
Yeah.
You know, when someone whips out, oh, and we've made a slideshow presentation, and I have found that the ones on PowerPoint seem to be a minimum of 35 minutes long, which is the default setting. And it does the little shimmery transitions all the time. Those don't look good.
The thing that irks me the most is when people have spent, you know, $1 billion on their wedding and the cake, and now they're going to show a presentation to 350 people lasting 8 minutes long, which is absolute garbage that they did by themselves or they left their mother-in-law in charge of. And so I know we've been talking about little rants, but my rant is, and by no means am I professional at slideshows, but holy crap, those are bad. Don't do that. Don't get your PowerPoint presentation up in front of 300 people for your wedding. Just get someone with some know-how to do it for the difference of, pay them $100, have a friend do it who knows what they're doing, but don't do it yourself on PowerPoint.
Hey, if you want to spend $100, phone Adam.
Yeah, sure.
Done.
I'll do it for 75.
I see. I'm of the other mind. I kind of like when they roll that train wreck out. I can sit there and everybody who knows me looks over at me, knowing I'm judging. Internally, externally, I'll be very magnanimous and tell, "Oh, great! Oh, good job! No, it was good." Especially the 15 pictures of you eating that hot dog. We needed 15 of them. Yeah.
the best thing is too, is when you have pictures of the bride and the groom, and they're just mixed in interchangeably. So you have no idea when they're children, like who's who and whose siblings are what, and you know.
Is that a boy or a girl?
Who is that?
Is that Adam wearing a bikini? Yes, it is. Yes, it is, Adam. I have absolutely seen those.
And now they're 11. Oh, now they're 3. Oh, now they're 16. Now they're 7.
My other favorite, while we're making this show about slideshows, is you'll get oftentimes, if you know a client would hire me to do this, they would provide their own pictures because I didn't grow up with them. But the guy will have pictures from, you know, his whole entire childhood.
Yeah.
And the girl will have a ton of pictures from the age of 1 until 11, and then 18 until present. But somehow those goofy high school years are missing.
Yeah.
With the big glasses and the pimples and all that. The guys don't care. The guys throw it out there. Well, it's embarrassing. Go ahead. But
that's true. That's very true.
Good times.
So chronological. That's our tip for slideshows. Make it chronological. And if you're going to do it for a wedding, do one person and then the other.
Yep. That's the template I've been using for many moons at this point. Doing that exact. I prefer my sort of template is to do that, is to do whoever was born first. So if the groom, you know, the groom is older, his section goes first.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a stickler about not really including anybody from the bride's side in the groom's pictures.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Sometimes it happens. Sometimes you can't get around it because he's really good friends with his mother-in-law. Really? I don't even want to do your wedding at all. Just kidding. My mother-in-law is fantastic. I'm just joking. She doesn't listen. Don't worry about it.
There's no way she's listening.
No. No, no, no. So, anyways, yeah, so that's it. That's plenty of slideshow tips from the Two Hosers slideshow show.
Yeah.
What? Huh? Okay, this week's topic, ironically, we haven't been able to focus on our topic enough at this point. Because the topic is focus. How to focus? What is focus? It's actually a much bigger topic than we thought.
I guess making your picture clear.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of things to consider when you're worrying about focus. And we'll worry about some of the bigger things. Like, we're going to get to the holy grail of amateur photography in the next few episodes. And that's depth of field. Or, in other words, out-of-focus background. Right. Make the background blurry. But we call that depth of field, and that plays a little part in what's in focus. But for now, we'll focus on the simple things.
I guess I have a question. I have a question for you to maybe just kick things off, and that is, what do you tend to focus on? Is there a simple thing that you tend to aim your manual focus point at, or do you use the autofocus points on the camera?
That's a good question. That's a lot of questions. I come from a manual focus background. With my old film camera. Tell us more, Grandpa. There was no autofocus, that's all I ever did. And when I got to digital SLR, I thought, well, that's great. They have manual focus. I'll just carry on doing that. Don't do that. It was stupid of me to do that. The autofocus is so good on these cameras. And the manual focus is not very good. In a pinch, I will do it. I will manual focus in a pinch. In low light, blah, blah, blah. But autofocus is great, except for I don't use the autofocus points. I only ever use one of them.
Okay, which one?
The center. I use the center one. You can go in there and now with these cameras, the latest, the advertising is it's got 147 focus points and all this stuff. For I don't know how many yours has.
Not many. I think mine only has 7.
Only.
Yeah. Well, that's it's the plenty. Lowest one of all the SLRs I think out there right now.
Is that
probably,
right?
Yeah. But I hardly ever use the points either. I think I use maybe 3.
Right. Right from the very beginning, I'm a kind of a control freak. That's how I do it when I take my pictures. I don't like to let the camera decide too much, even though it does a good job at deciding. I'm better sometimes. And so I basically, you can go in, and you might have to read the manual. I don't know how to do it on every camera. But you can go in and you can tell your camera which autofocus points to use. You can use all of them, which the camera will then select what it assumes you want to be in focus. And it will then assign that point automatically when you push the trigger, the shutter halfway down.
Yeah.
But you can go in and tell it to use any one of those points or most of those points. So I use the center point. From what I've been told, the center point is the most accurate. It's the, for whatever reason, it does the best job of focusing. So what I do is I assign it to the center. I then focus on what I want to focus on, hold the trigger halfway down, and then I recompose my shot. So that whatever I'm focusing on, I focus on in the center, I then move it. My subject is not necessarily in the center, but the focus is locked down.
And that's locking down the depth of what you focused on, correct?
Correct. That's what. That's how we determine focus. That's how the camera works. Is focus is based on a number of things, but quite simply, the distance from the camera.
Right. So that assumes that your subject is going to stay still.
Correct. Focus. Once you focus on your subject, let's say it is your focus, your person is 10 feet/3 meters away, roughly the same distance.
Right.
You can take as many pictures as you want without refocusing until the subject either moves further or closer to you, or you move. So if you change the distance between the camera and the subject, now you have to refocus. I do have a video. I will post a video on the blog that I made a while ago about the focus recompose method, which I think will make it a little more clear.
And I have another question, too, and I think this is a question that you've answered for me in the past, but I think is a good question that a lot of people have, and that is if you're shooting people, which probably is a lot of people's pictures, what are you aiming your focus point at?
The eye. Aiming at someone's eye. And for me, it's normally it's the if there is a closer eye, like if they're turned a little bit, I aim for the closer eye. Otherwise, I always focus on the subject's eye, because if you get that right, if that's in focus, nothing else actually needs to be.
Right.
There'll be times where you take a picture when you have a really narrow depth of field and the person's nose will be out of focus. And it won't matter as long as the eye is in. Feel free to break these rules if you like, but your pictures won't be very good. That's not true. That's not true at all. I mean,
no, but I think that was one of the things that I learned from you early on, and I think made the biggest difference in my pictures is just that. Just, you know, making my focal point be the eye. And then seeing how much better the pictures look. And you take a bunch of pictures and you sort through them and you might have 10 pictures of the same thing. And 3 times out of 10, you have the eyes perfectly in focus. And when you look through those pictures, you immediately stop at the ones with the eyes in focus and go, wow, that looks good. And toss out the other 7 or 8, right?
Yep. That's essentially what I do, yeah.
Now for you, because I mean, I probably miss that perfect focus on the eyes more times than I hit it. How many times out of 10 are you hitting it? Just so I know whether or not I'm doing a decent job.
Yeah, I hit 10 out of 10.
Oh, perfect.
That's why I'm in the big seat here. No, I miss. I mean, sometimes you do miss. It does happen. Like you'll get lined up and your subject will move generally a little bit. And oftentimes when you're shooting with a really narrow depth of field, which once again, once we get into, we'll talk more about that. But the funny thing is once people start shooting with a narrow depth of field, that's all they do.
Yeah.
There's a certain addiction, and I fell prey to it as well. But when you're shooting with a narrow depth of field, the slightest movement can cause softness in the picture or unsharp pictures in the eye. So it's hard to say how many times I make that focus or not. I would say it's a 6 out of 10 or something like that. It's not 10 out of 10. It doesn't happen like that.
It's good to know that you're fallible.
Everybody is. Everybody is. It's what back in the old film days, I would be happy if I would, you know, shoot a roll of 24, if I got one really good picture out of this 24. Now I would get, you know, I would, all the pictures would be fine. They'd all be exposed properly and this and that, and they'd be good pictures. But to get one really good one out of that 24, yeah, that was great. So now, I mean, you shoot 24 pictures without taking your finger off the shutter.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of good pictures, I'm assuming.
Yeah. A lot of throwaways. I think I took 60 pictures at the twins' birthday party that I went to, and I think I kept 13. So there's still a pretty high miss rate there.
Relatively speaking, I don't know. The goal is to get high. Yeah, to get a higher percentage of keepers. Because that was what I was going to ask you. Maybe we'll talk about this more in depth next show. The ratio keeper to throwaway ratio. Which, P.S. Do you even throw away?
Yes, I do.
Wow, good. I do my best to throw them away, but it gets away on me.
Yeah, no, I throw a lot away.
Good for you.
I don't probably have the hard drive space that you have.
Well, with the new, Anyways, I was going to ask you, and okay, let's get into that next week, but a quick teaser, what would your keeper to throwaway ratio be at the airport last week? Roughly.
Probably 10%.
So 9 throwaways to every keeper.
Yeah.
Still in those conditions, that's respectable.
It might have been a little higher, but it wasn't much higher than that. Yeah.
No, that absolutely is respectable, especially in tough situations like that. When I started out, that's pretty close to my, you know, I did shoot a lot more because, hey, why not? It's free. It isn't free. It costs you an awful lot of time. Anyway, that's episode 7. We're going to talk about that in episode 7. So today we wanted to really focus on the focus, what to focus on the person's eye, how to focus. I like using the autofocus. It's better than I am at it. I use the center point. Try using the center point because that way you can determine what your camera focuses on. It does a really good job of guessing when it uses all the focus points.
Yeah.
But you don't want to have it guess. Even if it gets it right 9 out of 10 times, that 10th time, you want the focus to be, you know, on the correct thing. So that's why we use the focus and recompose method. That was kind of a big, I don't know, big, a big, the best tip I ever got, I think. Put it that way.
The focus and recompose?
Yeah, not the best. One of the best. It led to a lot better pictures. That's for sure.
Yeah.
The focus and recompose.
And you're gonna show a kind of a demonstration of that on your blog. I think you've got one, right?
I do. I shot one a couple of years ago, so the video quality is somewhat lacking compared to the one about aperture and shutter speed, which is that one's about 2 minutes long, I think. On YouTube. The older one is, a little bit lesser quality, but yes, it does describe focus and recompose quite well, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I've been told. So, whew, got through that. All right. I have an assignment for everybody. I didn't tell you about this. Shoot. I have an assignment for before next week, or hopefully the next few days, with the weather. Is the weather getting better in Vancouver?
It's been raining for the last few days pretty hard, actually.
Surprise. Rain in Vancouver. Well, as people start to go outside more, in Vancouver, people tend to go outside an awful lot anyways. But this has to do with AV mode. Because even though we've talked about it and, quite frankly, beat it to death, it's one of those things that you have to practice and practice and practice to get good at. And so this week's assignment, set your camera to AV mode. Set your ISO to 400. Set your aperture to 5.6. And there's a very specific reason I picked 5.6. That, spoiler alert, we'll answer that in probably episode 9. When do you think we'll deal with prime lenses?
Any time. Maybe next episode.
Not yet.
No?
Could be next episode. Prime lenses. Yeah, we'll see. I'll tell you why I chose 5.6 when we deal with prime lenses. But for now, AV mode, ISO 400, aperture to 5.6. Set your white balance to daylight. I don't care what the weather's like. Set it to daylight. And go outside, and I want you to make 10 pictures. 10 pictures in your backyard, out, whatever it is. 10 pictures in slightly differing lighting situations. Shoot a picture in the shadow. Shoot a picture out in the daylight. Just 10 different shots. And I want you to compare and see what happens.
And then you're going to talk about the results next time?
Yes, we'll talk about the results, but I want people to look at their pictures and really kind of look at what's going on. What's happening with the shutter speed? That's really the big thing. How is that affected? And everything else. So we'll discuss that next week. I will go do that myself.
I will go do that.
Adam will do it. Not today, because it's nighttime there.
Yep.
Daytime here. And balmy and wonderful. So I might even go do that today in the crappy cloudy weather. And I'll post my 10 picks. So that's the assignment. We have an assignment this week.
It's great.
Last thing before we go, unless you want to have a nap now.
No, go ahead. One more thing.
The last tip to leave you with. And I wrote about this on the blog. I don't think we've talked about it on the show yet. One tip is never, ever, ever leave your camera strap hanging over the table.
How come?
You have kids, right?
Yeah.
Do you leave anything hanging? I mean, first of all, I see people putting their camera down and spending a good 3 minutes doing this intricate balance on the edge of the table when there's an entire middle of the table they can put their camera on. I always put my camera in the middle of the table. Never, ever, ever, ever ask a woman if she's pregnant. Never, ever, ever put your camera strap. It's the same principle. Never do that with your strap over the edge of the table, because that's coming down. Whether you have kids or not, and if you have kids, that's coming down within seconds. But even if you don't have kids, you have some klutzy somebody who will step on it, catch it on their pants, and your camera is going to do the nosedive. Guess what? Not good for your camera.
They don't bounce.
Good way to get a new camera, actually. Good way to update. So don't ever do that. In fact, there's often times in situations where I will put my camera on the ground versus the table. I mean, if there's kids running around, no. But I never put my camera on the seat of the car. Always put my camera on the floor of the car. It's not going to fall any further, is it?
those are good tips.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Do you ever put your camera on the seat of the car?
No, I always put it in my camera bag.
In your camera bag, correct.
Very well,
that's
padded.
Also another spot. Yeah. Good point. So that's the tip for this week. So I think that's about the end of it, unless you have anything else to add, Adam.
Not much. If you want to make a slideshow, go get iLife. And if you don't have a Mac computer, go get a Mac computer.
For quite a while, I was that guy. I was the one guy in the group of friends who had a Mac and wouldn't shut up about it. Oh, you got to get a Mac. You got to get a Mac. Oh, you got to get a Mac. And then everyone got one and went, oh, actually, okay. Annoying, but correct.
Yes, I definitely agree.
So get a Mac, get the iLife or Final Cut Pro if you want to spend $1,500 or whatever the cost now. But can't go wrong with iLife.
Yep.
So, all right, I'm going to go check your wife's blog and see if those pictures are up.
Perfect. Check them out.
I'm excited.
SchwartzChronicles.com.
SchwartzChronicles.com. You can see my stuff over at AlanAttridge.com. Order AlanAttridge.de. We'll have that video up that I shot. We'll have that up soon, or a link to it anyways. You can check us out at twohosers.com, Twitter at twohosers Twitter. I'm getting a sign from my producer that just says, end it. So we're going to go ahead and end it right there. Check us out at twohosers.com. Look on the blog. And until next week, Adam, what should people do?
Go out and make some pictures.
Make some better pictures. Okay, one more time from the top. Hey, Adam, until next week, what should people do?
Go out and make some better pictures.